Okay, so we are holding on Tes Amud Aleph, second Mishnah. Mishnah says, Mimirin Echad B'Shnayim U'Shnayim B'Echad. You're able to make a Tzmurah. Again, we have to always remember that Mimirin doesn't mean you're allowed to make a Tzmurah. You're not allowed to, but it's possible to make a Tzmurah of one animal for two. So you can have, for example, you had two animals for, you had two animals of Karbanos. Later on, by the way, and later on in the Masechta, we'll talk about what if there are two different types of karbanos, what happens then. But for the time being, let's assume they're both the same kind of carbon. So let's say you have two oilas, and you take one animal and you say this one will be the tumura of those two. That works. The person gets malchus for making a tumura, and the new animal becomes kardish. Or shnayim be'echad, or the other way around, you can say that these two animals should be, you're able to say that these two animals should be a tumura instead of this one animal of country. Echad b'meyo, meyo b'echad, or for that matter, you could do one for 100 or 100 for one. Either way, the tumura is chal. And the point is, acharonim say, I mean, once we said two, it doesn't really have to say 100, but the point is, you might think, I mean, no normal person would make a tumura of 100 animals for one or one for 100. So you think maybe he's exaggerating and he doesn't really mean it at all. So no, the Mishnah is telling us that we still take him at his word. Reb Shimon Omer Ein Mimirin Ela Echad Be'Echad. Reb Shimon says, no, it's only possible to make a tumura of one-to-one exchange. No more, and no multiple ones to one, and no one to multiple ones. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, V'hoyo hu u'tmura se'yi kodesh, because the Pasuk says, it and its tumura should be kodesh, implying ma hu miyuchad, just like hu, in other words, the Pasuk is making a hekesh between the original animal and the tumura. So just like hu, the original animal is kodesh, just like the original animal of Kodesh is one animal, Mahu Miyuchad, it's one individual animal, it's not a couple of animals. Afhi Miyuchad, that's the same thing, the Tumura has to also be Miyuchad, it has to be one particular animal, not a bunch of them, and therefore, Sir Shimon says none of this business of one animal for multiple ones or multiple ones for one animal. Svasemis actually points out what about would Reb Shimon say? So let's say, for example, you had two korbanos and you did a tumura with two chulin animals. Would that work? Because you have each one goes to one, or would Reb Shimon still say that not because you can only do a tumura of one at a time? The Sfasemis has that, leaves that as a question. Okay. Sigmar says Menahani Mili. Where do we know this from? That what the Tanakhama is saying, that you're able to make a tumura of many animal, of one animal for many, or many for one, et cetera, et cetera. So the Tana Rabbana, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, behema bi behema. The Pasuk says a person makes a tumura of an animal for an animal. Now, the word behema is one of those words in Lashon Kodesh that can be singular, but it can also be a mass noun. It can also mean, as I was going to point out soon, it can mean a lot of animals. So the fact that it uses the expression behema means that it could either be one animal or a bunch of animals. So therefore, mikan shemamirin echad bebeiz or beiz beechad, that's where we learn that you're able to make a tumura of an original one animal of Kajim for two new colon animals, or two new ones of colon for one of Kajim, echad b'meya ve'eb omeya be'echad, or 100, one for 100, one to 100 or 100 to one, because it says behema b'behema, and the word behema can mean either singular or plural. Reb Shimon, what?
It said behema, not behema.
That's fine. The word behema, as the Chachamim are going to point out soon, can be used in the plural sense as well. Reb Shimon Omer Ein Mimirna Ela Echad Be'Echad. Reb Shimon says, no, it's only one for one. Shenema behema be'behema, v'loi behema be'behemois. Reb Shimon focuses on, no, the word behema is only singular. So behema means not behemois in the plural, v'loi behemois be'behema, and not that you can have more than one behema, behemois for one original behema. So therefore, he says it can only be one-on-one. Amrulai, the Chachamim said to him, why? Matsino behema is shikruya behema. You have an example in Tanakh where the word behema is used as a generic noun meaning a lot of animals together. Shenema or behema rabba. The last words of the book of Yonah is that Hashem tells Yonah, you're upset about the Kikoyan, that it lasted for only one night, etc. Why shouldn't I have Rachmanus on Nineveh, where there's so many people, plus a behema rabba, plus a lot of animals? So we see that the word behema means in the plural. So therefore, so that's where they say that it means many animals. V'Rav Shimon, what does Rav Shimon answer to that? He says, Behema Rabba Ikri. Sure, you have in the Pasuk, it's called Behema Rabba. Behema Stam or Ikri, but you never find that the word Behema unspecified means only one Behema. So therefore, the Chachamim don't care about that. They say the fact that it says Behema Rabba, where it could have said Behemos Rabbos, and it doesn't, shows that the word Behema can be used as a mass noun to mean many animals. Rav Shimon doesn't accept that because he says that would only be the case if it said plain Behema. But if it only says it Behema Rabba, then he says Behema by itself means only one animal. Okay, so that's the Machlokes. Okay, so the question is, the timer did Rav Shimon mishum behema hu? You're telling me Rav Shimon's reason why he says that you're only able to do one for one is because of the word behema, which he learns is only singular? But well, that's not what the Mishnah said. But timer did Rav Shimon mishum hu? We said in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon has a different reason, because it says, v'ayo hu utmorasa yiyakodesh, and the word hu is singular. So therefore, it means just like the animal is singular, the original animal of Kodshim is singular, so also the Tumorah has to be singular. Mahu miyuchad af Tumorah miyuchadis. So why are we saying now in the Braisa that Rav Shimon is instead learning from the word Behema? The answer is...
And he was the Mishnah.
In the Mishnah, yeah. In the Mishnah, we said that his reason is on the grounds of the word Hu. Now, in the Braisa, we're saying that his reason comes from the word Behema. So the answer is like this. Mi'ikra amalahen Rav Shimon min v'hoyahu t'murasai. Now we actually have two explanations in Rashi with two different girsais. So let's first learn the way we have it in front of us over here, which is Rashi brings that as a second lashon from his Rebbe, and then we'll go back and talk about the first one. So mi'ikra amalahen Rav Shimon min v'hoyahu t'murasai. What happened was like this. The way the discussion went was originally Rav Shimon told them that my source that you can only have one t'mura for one animal is because it says v'hoyahu t'murasai, and you have a hekesh between who and t'murasai, and therefore just like who is only one animal, so t'mura is only one animal. V'chi chaza de darshi rabbanon mi'behema b'behema, then when he saw that the chachamim instead are learning their din that you can do multiple animals from the word behema b'behema, which they learn that the word behema can be a mass noun, amalahem. So actually, Rav Shimon tells them, hey, Amalahem Ihu, so Rav Shimon then tells them, hey, Mehosam Nanim Afsinim Lameil of Time Adidi. Actually, from that very pasuk that you guys are bringing as your proof, I can actually bring that as another proof to my din, because the word Behema by itself, without Rabbah, means one single animal. So therefore, Rav Shimon actually has two sources for his din. One from Bahayahu Tmurasai, and one because he argues to the Chachamim that unlike you think the word behema can mean a mass noun, can mean many animals, I say that the word behema means one and only one. Okay. So no contradiction about where he gets the source of his din from. Now, the Gemara continues, Amar Rish Lakish, Mordur Rav Shimon, Shimon Mirin, B'chozirin, and Mirin. Rish Lakish says, however, that Rav Shimon would agree that it's possible to make a t'mura and then make another t'mura with the original animal. Now, later on, Daf Yud Aleph, today, we're going to talk about if you make a t'mura from animal A to B, whether you're able to make from B to C. We're going to say over there that you can't. But here we're talking about you made a t'mura from animal A to B, and now you again want to make from A to C. So you're using still the original animal of Kodshim, and you're trying to make a t'mura from it, first to one animal and then to another animal. So Rish Lakish is saying Rav Shimon would agree that both of those work. Both of those take effect. Now Rashi's first girsa over here is that actually that Rish Lakish is not coming to say a new statement according to the first explanation in Rashi, and Rashi takes out the word me'ikra from the Gemara, but rather, we're trying to answer. We were just asking before why we say that Rav Shimon is learning his din from the word, behema, when in the Braisa, when in the Mishnah we said instead he's learning from hu utmorasai. So according to Rashi's first explanation, Rish Lakish is coming to answer that Rav Shimon is actually using the word behema b'behema to teach us a different din, to teach us this concept that you're able to make two t'muras, one after the other, using the same animal, that you're able to make, again, from animal A, which was Kodshin, to animal B, which was Cholin, and now becomes a t'mura, and then again, from A to C, which also becomes a t'mura. So in Rashi's first explanation, that this din of Rish Lakish is coming to answer why Rav Shimon has two different sources in the pasuk, because one of them he's learning that you can't do two at once, but the other one he's learning that you can do one after the other. Okay. So again, Rish Lakish says that Rav Shimon would agree that you're able to do that. My timer, why would that be? Because after all, you have to ask, why wouldn't you be able to? You have an original Kedusha on this animal of Hekdish, which you are now saying you made a Tzmurah from it, from A, you made a Tzmurah to B. So why shouldn't you be able to also make one to C as well? Even according to Rav Shimon, whatever psukim he has, still logic dictates that A still has its full original Kedusha, because after all, that's the din when it comes to a Tzmurah. The original animal retains its Kedusha. The new one also gets the Kedusha of its Tzmurah. So the original animal still has its full Kedusha. Why shouldn't you be able to make another Tzmurah with it? Therefore, Rish Lakish says Rav Shimon would say that that's the case and you're able to do that. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and he says, no. No. Just like Rav Shimon is saying that you can't do two Tzmurahs for one animal at the same time, as we said in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon would say the same thing. You're not able to use the same animal twice as the source of a Tzmurah. So no, so Rabbi Yochanan says the case that Rish Lakish is talking about, to go from A to B and then to go from A to C, Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Shimon would say is not possible. Now, by the way, when it comes to the Machlokes in our Mishnah, the halacha is like a Chachamim, as it usually is. Meaning, in other words, that it is possible to make multiple Tzmurahs at one time. By the same token, then, the Rambam paskins given that Rabbi Yochanan is saying his din only within Rabbi Shimon's opinion, whereas the Chachamim implicitly would disagree, then the Rambam paskins that indeed it is possible to make many Tzmurahs from one original animal. So you are able to do from A to B, and then from A to C, and then from A to D, etc. This, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing what Rabbi Shimon's opinion is it possible to make multiple Tzmurahs from the original first animal, one after the other? That is actually of two different braisas. One braisa like Rabbi Yochanan, one braisa like Rish Lakish. So in other words, there were Tanoim themselves who argued what Rabbi Shimon holds. Tanya Kavaseh de Rabbi Yochanan, we have a braisa like Rabbi Yochanan, which says, Kishem She'en Mirin Echad B'Shnayim, just like you can't make, according to Rabbi Shimon, a Tzmurah one exchanged for two. Kach En Mirin B'Chozun, rather, one original one for two new ones. Kach En Mirin B'Chozun and Mirin. So also this braisa says, you're not able, according to Rabbi Shimon, to make a Tzmurah from one animal and then make another Tzmurah from the same animal. So that's like Rabbi Yochanan said. Tanya Tava say the Rish Lakish, and then we have a Braisa like Rish Lakish. Yochol, you would think, Kishem Sha'amar Rav Shimon Sha'en Mimir Shnaim Be'echad. You would think, just like Rav Shimon says, that you can't make a Tzmurah, it's not possible to make a Tzmurah, two new animals for one original animal, Kach En Mimir and Bechozman and Mimir. You would think by the same token, Rav Shimon would say that you're not able to use the same animal as a source for multiple Tzmurahs. No. Tamad Laimu, Vahayahu, Tzmurasi, Vahayahu, Tzmurasi. No. Therefore, the Pasuk says, says the Braisa, the Pasuk says, it and its Tzmurah, which means, Afkibu B'meya. So it doesn't matter, even if there are 100 Tzmurahs one after the other, you can't do multiple Tzmurahs at the same time, says Rav Shimon, but to do them one after the other, that this Braisa says you would be able to do. So that's like Rish Lakish's understanding of Rav Shimon. Again, the halacha is like the Chachamim, and the halacha is indeed that it's possible to make multiple ones together or one after the other. Okay. Boy, Rav Ovin. So Rav Ovin says, now I have a question. Let's go according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, according to Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Shimon, which we just said we have a braisa for, that it's not possible to make one Tzmurah with an animal and then make another Tzmurah with the same animal. So according to that, let's construct a scenario as follows. Hifrish Osham Lehiskaper Bari. Suppose a person set aside an animal for an Osham that he should have a kapara with it. He has to bring an Osham for whatever reason, Xelos, Me'ilos, etc., etc. So he designates an animal for an Osham to be Miskaper with it. The Hamer Bari. Then he made a Tzmurah with that Osham. Now what happened is the Humam, the original animal, became now developed a Mum. the chiloloi al acher, then this person was mechalo that balmum. He didn't make another tmura. He did a chilu, which is a valid way of doing it. Tmura is you're saying that this should be in exchange for that. That the Torah says it works. It gets the person malchus and v'hol yehu tmuras the yekodesh, but it doesn't take away the kedusha of the original one. As opposed to chilul, if you use an expression of chilul, then what you're doing is you're taking off the kedusha from the original one and putting it onto the new one. You can only do that if it's a balmum, but that's what we're talking about over here. So again, the first one became a balmum, the chiluloi al acher, so he was machalolit on another animal. And then so now so far we have like this. We have the original animal, we have the tmura of the original animal. We have the third animal, which was mechalo the first one onto the third one, and then we have the niskaper ba'osham acher. In the end, what happened was that the second one. The one that he was mechalal on got lost, and so he was miskaper ba'osham acher with yet another one. And the nitak la'oila. So now what happened is eventually now we found the second one, the one that he was mechalal on, and that one by that time he's already brought his osham. So that he's not bringing another offering, you can't do that. So therefore, instead, that second animal gets transferred, nitak gets pulled away from the kedusha of osam to the kedusha of oila. We've learned this concept of nitak of a few times before. The first time we had it in detail was at the beginning of Zvachim, and we had a whole discussion over there between Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim what exactly needs to be done in order for Nitak. Do you just have to declare it? Do you actually have to send it off to graze? Whatever the point is, that here it became, instead, it went to the Kedusha of an Ola, which technically, actually, it itself is not supposed to be brought as an Ola, at least not in Hapchila, the Dievet. If you bring it as an Ola, then it works. But Hapchila, you're actually supposed to leave it until it grazes and develops a mum, and then you use the money to buy an Ola. Anyway, the question is, this offering that turned into an ola, mahu sheyomir bai, are you able to make a tmura with it? Now, I'm not real sure, and I don't see anything in the Mephoshim why we need, in Rav Oven's scenario, that he was meimir with the original offering. So the main thing we should focus on, though, is you have an original offering which developed a boom. You have a second animal, which he was mechalalad on, which the intention was that he's going to bring that second one as the osham. Then he lost it. So now instead he brought a third animal for the osham instead. Now the second one turns up, and now the din of the second one is it's not going to be brought as an osham. It has now the kedusha of an ola, which again either means that it itself is going to be brought as an ola, or usually, that's only b'di'evet. Mahatchila, really what you're supposed to do is use the money a bit for an ola. Anyway, the point is, the question is, that middle animal, the one that was an osham and now turned into an ola, mahu sheyomer bai, are you able to make a tmura with it? Again, if you say that you're able to make tmuras from many animals onto one or from one onto many, or if we say you're able to make a tmura one after the other, then there's no question. Of course you could, because this is one animal over here. And yeah, okay, it has a kedusha of an oila, it has a kedusha of an osham. So what? You're still able to make a tmura with it. But if we go with Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, that it's impossible, once you made a tmura with an animal one time, you're not able to make a tmura starting from that same animal to another animal again, now you have the question, that's why we have to have that he made a tmura with the first asham. Because we could say, once he made a tmura with the first asham, and this one is coming from the koyach of that one, because how did this second one come to be an asham in the first place? Only because you were mechalo the first one on it. So therefore, you could argue, according to that opinion, then you can't make a tmura with it, because you could argue it's like the original animal. It comes from the koyach of that animal. So if you're not able, according to that opinion, according to the Yechanan, to make a second tmura using the original asham, then you also wouldn't be able to make a tmura using the new asham, which now turned into oila. Or would we say that the fact of the matter is it's a different animal, and it has a different kedusha because the original one was an Asham and this one is an Ola, maybe you could. So that's the question.
Right.
Okay. Amar Abaya, however, Abaya asks on Rav Ovin, my comic boy life, what exactly is the swara that Rav Ovin is asking about? We have to, why is he even asking the question? And why, and not just why is he asking the question, but why is he asking in such a convoluted scenario? What is the essential point that Rav Ovin is asking about? Are we talking about the question is where you have in general, you have two different animals which have the same kedusha, meaning in other words, the second one came from the koyach of the first one and has the same kedusha, and you're asking whether they're considered like one korban because they have the same kedusha or no because it's two different animals. If that's the case, if that's his question, keep Bari Lay the Loyna Scatter. Then he doesn't need to ask the question. He doesn't need to have the continuation of the scenario where there was a third Asham and the second one therefore turns into an Olam. You could ask the same exact question if you have the first one, which was supposed to be an Asham and then developed a Mum, and meanwhile, and you had previously made a Tzmura of it, and then you have a second one, which you were Mechalo the first one on after it developed a Mum. If that's all he's asking is when you have two Gufrim and one Kedusha, then that's you can stop the scenario right there. You have two animals, each of which has the kedusha of an asham. The original one that was supposed to be the asham, and the second one that you were mechala with on, and you don't need the whole scenario where the second one got lost and you were mestapa with the third one. The guf echad. If you're going to tell me that if you're going to say that your question is about a case where you have two kedushas in one guf. Namely, over here, you have this animal, the second animal over here, started as an asham and later on turned into an oila. In that case, kibari lebelay humam. So in that case, you don't need to talk about a case where the first one developed a mum. You could have a much simpler, you could also make the case much simpler. The first one got lost, so you designated a second one, and the first one now became an oila. So the question would be, the same question that you're asking on the second one, where it's an asham turned into oila, if your question is about one goof that has two kedushas, then all you need is that case. The original animal was supposed to be an asham, and now it turned into an oila. So Abaya's question is, why is Rav Ovin giving us such a convoluted case in order to ask his question? Why does it do either way? If he wants to focus on one single animal that has two kedushas, then he didn't need the first animal to develop a mum. He just needs it to get lost and then turn up after he brought a second animal as a carbon. And if he's asking about where you have two animals, one came from the kayach of the other one, and they have the same kedusha, then you can stop at two animals. You have a second animal that you have a second animal which became an oila. Okay. So why is he asking such a complicated case? Okay, so the Gemara answers, good of Ovin. So what is Rav Ovin answer to that? He says, actually, chodah migoy chodah from the boyalei. What it actually is Rav Ovin has a question where he has both questions, but the second question comes about as a result of the first question. Once he has the first question, then he has a second follow-up question. And that's why he constructs the scenario. Because he says like this, Im kimtzaloymar, if you're going to say, my first question is, what about if you have two gufim with one kedusha? So in other words, let's say, like we said, so you'd have an original animal that was supposed to be an awesome. Then an original animal that was supposed to be an awesome. Then you developed a mum or whatever, and you were machalalit on a second animal, and now the first one turns up, and therefore the first one didn't turn up, but now you have the second one has the kedusha of an asham, the same as the first one, so it's two gufim and one kedusha. So now the question is, in tinsalayma, gufim, a gdusha achas loy, if you're going to tell me that when you have two gufim, because it's two different animals, even though they have one gdusha, you could argue that loy, that you're not able to make another tumura, according to this opinion, you could argue that's different because mishum dibahi kedusha ha'itmar ba'chadazimna, because you could say, after all, the same kedusha, which applies to both of these animals, because both of these animals have the kedusha of an asham, and the second one came from the koyach of the first one, and you already made a tmura using the first one, so therefore, following Rabbi Yochanan's law, you can't make a tmura with it again. So then you would say, in that case, the answer is that you're not able to make a tmura with the second one. Well, Rav Oven is saying, if that's the case, then I have a question. I have a question. Shnei gufim or shtei kedushas mahu. What about in a case like this, where we have two different animals and two different kedushas? Because again, you have the second one is different. It's different than the first animal because the first animal was the original was designated as an asham, and the second one was designated instead of it as an asham. You're mechalal it on it as an asham. And number two, now it has two kedushas because that second one is not really an asham. It can't be used as an asham anymore. It's going to be used as an oila. So that would be the question. So that's why Rav Oven constructs this whole complicated scenario, because he had a first question, which was what Abaya said. What if you have two gufim and one kedusha? And then as a follow-up, okay, if in that case we could say that you can't be namer again, what about if you have two gufim and two kedushas? So that's Rav Oven's question. That's why he had to construct this scenario, because only in this scenario do you wind up with a separate animal that has two different kedushas on it, the kedusha of an ola and the kedusha of an asham. And the Gemara says, "Teku." We don't know. Okay, lishna achrina. Then, as we often do in the Sechta Tzmurda, we have a second lashon, boy Rav Oven. That Rav Oven is asking the question. That here in the second lashon it spells out that this is a question is according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you can't make a second tumura from the same carbon. So the question would be, as we said, here for this awesomely scatter boy, a person designated an asham to be the scatter with it, the hamer boy, he made a tumura with that original animal, the humam, and then it developed a mum, the chiloloy al achar, so there's a chalalit on another animal, mahu shiyaks of yamir. So in the second version, Rav Oven asks two different questions. In the first version, he constructed the whole case and then asked the question. In the second version, he's asking two separate questions on two parts of the scenario. Number one, at that point, when we have only a second animal, are you able to make a tmura with the second animal, which has the kedusha of an asham? And also, he asked further, niskatav asham acher, what happens, let's continue the scenario, if in the end the first one got lost, and then he was miskapa with the second one, the nitak zeva oiva, and then the second one that he was mechalad on already goes off and then gets pulled away and becomes an oiva. Mahush yachsav yomer. Is it possible for him to make a tmura with the second one? So now, in the second version then, Rav Oven is not saying that it's all one scenario. It's two different scenarios, and he's asking about two questions. Two gufim and one kedusha, which is the first part of his question, or one guf and two kedushas, which is the second part of the question. So again, in the first version, in the first version of Rav Oven's question, he constructed the whole scenario involving four different animals, and at the end of it asked, when it comes to the second animal in the sequence, are you able to make a tmura with it? Because we said that animal has two guf, it's a separate guf, and it has two kedushas. Now, in the second version, Rav Oven is asking a little differently. He's saying it's not one long, continuous scenario. It's two different scenarios, one of which gives us two animals with the same kedusha, and the other one of which gives us one animal with two kedushas. So again, Omer Abaya. So again, in the second version, Abaya asks, "Hey, Komi Bayalei, which one is Rav Oven's primary suffix? Kedusha acheres ba'osa aguf." If his primary question is when you have a second kedusha on the same guf, in other words, one guf and two kedushas, if that's the case, if that's the case, he doesn't have to talk about that there was any mum and that he was mechalal on another one. all he has, he doesn't have to ask, he doesn't have to mention that the first one developed the moment that he was mechallel it on the second one. All he needs is a case where you have two kedushas on one guf. In other words, it would still apply to the original one. If the original one got lost and then later on it turned up, and therefore it turns into an oila. And if you talk about, if his question is a second goof, a second animal that has the same kedusha, in that case, he doesn't need to ask the question when you have, when he was miskapa with another kedusha, with another asham. If all he needs is a second animal with the same kedusha, then all you need for that is that the first one is that he was mechal on the first one and the second one, and both of them therefore have the same kedusha of asham. The second one comes mikoyach the first one, and it's two different kedushim. So again, so the question would be again in the second version is why does he have to bring the scenarios that he does where davka there was a mum on the first one and davka he was a scapper with a second one, etc. So the answer is Rav Oven will answer the reason why I'm asking the question the way I do is like before chodah coming by lay what it is I have a first question and then based on that I have a second question. My question is like this. Humam b'chiloloy al acher, if the original animal of Asham developed a mum, ma'u sheyachzev yomib after and previously had made a tzmura with it, and now you're mechalalev on a second animal, ma'u sheyachzev yomib, are you able to make a tzmura using the second animal, the one that you mechalal the first one on? Miyamunin, do we say ba'asham risha in huda en chozer member? Do we say, according to Rav Yochanan, that only the first asham, the original one, you're not able to make a second tzmura, because you already made a first tzmura with it, and therefore you don't have the ability to make a second one, according to Rav Yochanan? Avo beguf acher, but when it comes to a different body, to a different animal, afogav de kaddish ba'osa kedusha, even though it has the same kedusha, even though the second one comes in the koyach the first one, you could argue chozer member. He can still go and be maimer with it again, because it is, after all, a different animal. Oidilma, or maybe not, kol ba'osa kedusha, any time when the korban has the same kedusha of the first one, it comes from the koyach of the first one, ein chozer or maimer. You could argue once you made a tzmura with the first one, you're not able to make a tzmura with the second one. So that's question number one. Then Rav Oven continues, im timtza loimar, and if you're going to say, Hodein acher, that other animal, kiven de ba'osa kedusha koyim, since after all it has the same kedusha, it comes from the first of the animal, and it's still part of the same kedusha. You could argue that maybe ein chozer meimer. You could argue ein chozer meimer that you're not able to go and make a tmura with it again. In that case, if you're going to say that, Ella, then I still have the question as follows. Niskaper ba'asham acher, what happens if he actually ended up being niskaper with a different asham because the one that he was mechalal on got lost? The nitak zeh rishon la'ola, and then the first one gets pulled away from the kedusha of an asham and instead goes to the kedusha of an ola. Now the question, is it possible to make a tmura with it now that it turned into an ola? Miyaminan, do we say ki ein meimer v'chozer meimer? Do we say that when Rabbi Yochanan says you're not able to be meimer again and again with the same animal, hani mili oisa guf v'oisa kedusha, that would only apply when it is the same guf and it has the same kedusha? Avol oisa guf v'kedusha acheres, but if it's the same animal, but now that animal has a different kedusha, chozer meimer, then you would be able to make a tzmura. Or Dilma, or maybe not, Afa Kedusha Acheres, even if it has a separate Kedusha, given to Oisa Gufu, since it is the same animal, after all, a name of a Chozer member, then you wouldn't be able to make a Tumura with it. And again, according to the second version, the answer is Teku. So as a matter of practical halacha, again, it doesn't matter, that Amman Paskin's like the Chachamim, and implicitly, like Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, which is Rabbi Yochanan's whole statement was according to Rabbi Shimon, which therefore, if the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, then it's a moot point. You can be maimer as many times as you want with the same animal of kodshim. So the whole question is not is not according to the opinion that's accepted by halacha anyway. But nevertheless, within that, within Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, within Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that we're saying that case, well, we don't know what Rabbi Yochanan would hold in that case. So again, would he hold? He's still there, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, I was wondering. You'd been awfully quiet for a while. It's not like you. Okay. So again, let's recap. We said Rav Ovin's question is this: that Rav Yochanan is saying that you can't make a tmura again with an animal of kodshim. Does that apply only if it's the same animal and it still has the same kedusha? Would the same concept also apply if you have a second animal that inherited the kedusha of the first one? As in, we were saying over here, where the first one developed a mum and you were machalal it on a second one. Would we say that it also applies when you have a separate animal, when you have the same animal that now has a different kedusha, namely the case where the animal that was supposed to be an oshav is now not going to be used for an oshav anymore, instead it or its value is going to be used for an oila, that guf echad or shtei kedushas? And in the first version of Rav Ovin's question, there was also, what would we say if you have two animals and two kedushas, namely the whole complicated scenario where we said before, where you wind up with a separate animal, not the original animal that he designated as an osham, but the second animal that he's hollow that one on, which now itself has a second kedusha, because that one itself got lost and then later on turned up and now becomes an oila. So would we say that this concept of ein memer, a chozer memer, that you're not able to use the same animal again and again as a source for tmura, would it apply even in that case, or maybe would it not? And that's what we left it as teiku, that we don't know what Rabbi Yochanan would hold in all of those cases. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to mention another din. Now the Gemara is going to mention a different din, not directly related to this, where Rav Ovin is going to have the same question. And unlike the first one, where Rav Ovin's question was predicated on something that's not accepted by halacha, because Rav Shimon's opinion is not the one that's accepted by halacha, this second one is going to be relevant as halacha, because the din that he's going to be basing himself on is something that is correct, that is accepted by halacha. So let's start with the din first. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, hekdesh rishon motiv chomesh, ve'en hekdesh sheni motiv chomesh. When a person is redeeming the original object of hekdesh, redeeming the original object from hekdesh, he has to pay an extra chomesh. We learned about this in Erechin most recently. We've learned about it many times before, that a person is poyga kodshim from hekdesh, where he himself is the owner of it. It also applies to Maitre Sheni for that matter. Then he has to add an extra chomesh, an extra 25%. But that only applies, says Rabbi Shimon Levi, to the first hekdesh. Ein hekdesh sheni mosif chomesh. But suppose that the person was mechalel the first thing onto a second thing, and now he wants to be put to the second thing, he wouldn't add a chomesh for that. So one example would be, let's say, for example, a person was mechalel ma'ase sheni on money, and now he wants to be mechalel that money, which actually is not so simple. Sometimes you can do that, sometimes you can't. It depends whether it's demai or vadai or whatever. But the point is, there is here before in the Gemara we were talking about, for example, you have an animal of kodshim, which it developed a mum, so you mechalel it on another animal, and now you're going to now you want to bring the second animal. So suppose now, let's say the second animal also develops a mum, and you're going to be poyed it. Same thing. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says you're not paying a chomesh for the second one. Amar of Papa, my time. What?
Only the first one.
Only the first one, yeah. Amar of Papa, my time. So Rabbi Papa says, why is that? My time is Rabbi Shimon Levi. Why does Rabbi Shimon Levi say that? The reason is, because the Pasuk says, if the person donated his house to Hekdesh, and then he wants to redeem his house from Hekdesh, so the Pasuk says, he has to add one-fifth. Now the word Hamakdesh means Makdesh v'lo Hamakdesh. Only when he declared it with original Kedusha, not when he makes the Kedusha of the original one, be grabbed onto a second one. Machpis is this concept of being machalo kedusha from one thing onto another is also called in Gemara Lashon Machpis. That you're taking the original kedusha. You're taking the original kedusha and making it grab a hold of something else. So that's called machpis. So the word machpis means only the one who makes the thing originally kodesh, not the one who makes something kodesh as a result of something else. Which would be this case of where there's machal the first one and now you have a second one. Okay. So now that we have that basic din, Bari Rav Avin. So Rav Avin has a question similar to what he was asking before. Hifrish Osham Liskapabai, same scenario, a person designated an animal for an Osham to be miskapa with it, because you have to bring an Osham for whatever reason. Vahumam, that animal developed a mum, Vahorisif Olav Choymesh, Vahiloi Alchab, Vahiloi Chaveri, Vahiloi Alchaveri, so he added a Choymesh and was Machalalet on a second animal. Viniskapar Vahosham Acher, then in the event that second animal got lost, so therefore, he was in the scapula with a third animal, the nitak zela ola. So now the second one, again, as we said before, can no longer be brought as an osham because he already brought the osham that he was supposed to, and he can't therefore bring this one for another osham. So instead, the din is that it's nitak, that it's pulled away from the kedusha of osham and instead goes to the kedusha of ola, which again, as we said before, in principle, maybe you could bring it itself as an ola, but really what you're supposed to do is wait till it develops a form and then sell it and use the money for an ola. And we learned also in Zvachim, when we talk about this, whether it's Darais or it's Rabban on this concept that you should leave it to develop a mum, etc. The point is that it has the kedusha of an Orla to the extent that either it or its value is going to be used for an Orla. So now the question is, Maushi Yosef Olav Chaymesh, if you want to be poida, that other one, given that you leave it to graze until it develops a mum, and then you're buying it back from Hektish, and you're using the value of it to buy an Orla, or are you paying a chaymesh when you're buying it from Hektish, asks Rav Avin. Okay. And so, again, Omer Abaya, so Abaya asks, like he asked before, my comment by the way, again, we have to figure out what exactly is the case that Rav Avin is asking, but not what's the case he's asking about, we know what the case is, what is the underlying point that Rav Avin is wondering about? Like before, if his fundamental question is when you have two different animals that have the same kedusha, where the second one inherited the kedusha from the first one, then again, we can construct the scenario without needing to have in between over there that he was a scapper with another one. All we need is the case where all we need is that. The Osham developed the mum and then he was howl it on another one, because then you have a second goof that inherited the first kedusha. The ish state kedusha, the goof achat coming by the way. And if his fundamental question is where you have one animal that has two kedushas, again, where it started as an Osham and turned into an ola, tiboy boy humam. He doesn't need a case where the first one developed the mum and he was howl it on the second one. All he needs to do is talk about a scenario where you designated an animal for an osham, it got lost, you have a scapper with another one, the first one turned up, and the question is whether that original one you're paying a chaymish for. So why does he have to have this whole scenario over here that involves three different animals? And again, like before, Rav Avin chadim agoy chadim chamed bayalei. Again, we can answer that Rav Avin had a first question, and then based on that, he had a follow-up question. Im kim tzaloyim ashnei gufin ukdusha achas loy. If you might say that when you have two different gufim and one kedusha, when you have a second animal that inherited kedusha from the first one, you might argue that in that case, loy, you don't have to pay the extra chaymesh. Because you could say that within that kedusha, it is after all, it is one kedusha, it's just divided up among two animals, because you had a first animal, and then you had a second animal that inherited that kedusha from it. Fine, you could say when it comes to that kedusha, you already added a chaymesh one time, you were machal at one time, then you added a chaymesh. Nevertheless, the question would be, like before, Shnei Gufin or Shnei Knush is fine. But what about in this whole scenario over here, where you wind up with a second animal, a different animal than the original one, and that different animal also itself has two Kedushas, because it started out as an Asham and now turns into an Ola. So my, what would be the question? Do we say that it is considered, it comes from the koyach of the first one, so therefore it's considered hekdesh sheni, and therefore you shouldn't need a chumash? Or do we say that, after all, the kedusha of ola that it has is original to it? It comes after it having been an asham. But the point is, it's not something that existed in the previous animal. It's something that only came into existence in this animal, the kedusha of the ola. So maybe it would be considered hekdesh rishon, and you should have to pay the chumash. So that's the question. And again, the answer is teiku, we're not sure. Now, in this case, since this is all based on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's din about hekdesh rishon and hekdesh sheni, and that din is accepted lahalacha, then the result is that in the case of this teiku, it results in an actual practical question in halacha. Do you have to pay an extra chomish when you're being poyder that animal? So the Rambam paskens that it is a suffix. That's a suffix whether you have to pay a chomish or not. And therefore, the Radvar says that after all, okay, as usual as we do with suffix, the gizbar can't make you pay the chomish for it. On the other hand, if the gizbar grabs money for the chomish, then you can't take it away from him, as is usual with cases of dinim ominous. Okay, again, lishnachrin. Again, we have a different version of the way the discussion went. In this second version, and again, as we've had throughout Torah, when you have a first version, Rashi points out in a number of places over here that you have a first version and a second version here in Torah, where the second one, Rashi calls it Loshin Yerushalmi. The wordings in these second versions a lot of times resemble more the language of the Yerushalmi rather than of the Bavli. So it could be, for example, one of those in a history book called Deres Yerushalim, where he says what it may be is that maybe Masechta Tamura wasn't learned so much in the Yeshivas of Bavel for one reason or another, and therefore when the Chachamim and when the Rishonim in Europe and wherever else got copies of the Gemara, they tended to get an equal number of copies from Bavel and from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they combined the two different readings from them. As opposed to in most other places in Chass, they tended to get more copies that were written in Bavel, because in Bavel they learned those Masechtas. Okay, anyway, listen, Achrin, another version of the discussion. Boy, Rav Alvin, that Rav Alvin asked the question, Hefrish Asham Le Skapa Bai, person set aside an Asham to be the Skapa with it, Gohumam, that animal developed a mum, the Chilavai Al Acher, so he's Mechalalet on another animal, the Hosef Chaymesh, and in being Mechalal, he added the Chaymesh, like he was supposed to, and then the second one develops a mum, so now you want to be Poyet, do you have to add a Chaymesh or not? And a second case, also, Niskapu Ba'asham Acher, what happens, another possibility, if the owner was Niskapu with a separate Asham, with a different Asham, because the first one got lost, the Nitak Zelud Ola, and therefore the first one, when it turns up, ends up turning from an Asham into an Ola, Ma'oshi Yosefal Chaymish, would you have to add a Chaymish when you redeem it? So again, in the second version, like in the second version before, we're talking about two different scenarios. Instead of one long scenario involving three animals, two separate scenarios, each one involving two animals. And again, in the second version, Omer Abaya Hodein Tamid Bayalei. Again, Abaya says, what is this that Rav Alvin is asking? And here, by the way, we have an example. The word Hodein is more, the word Hodein is more one of those words that you tend to find in your Yerushalmi Lashon. In Bavli Lashon, more often you would find like what we had before, Mai Tamid Bayalei. Anyway, Hodein Tamid Bayalei, what is this that he's asking? What's his fundamental question? If his fundamental question is when you have the same goof which now has a different kedusha, Tamid Bayalei, if that's the case that he's asking about, Loini Bayalei Humam, then he doesn't have to mention where the first one developed a womb. He just has to say that the first one got lost and he brought a second one and then the first one turned up. Where now it has one, it's one goof, it's the original animal that he designated as an asham, and it has a second kedusha, because now it has the kedusha of an arva. E acher ba'is a kedusha cholo, or like we said before, or is he asking about where you have a separate animal with the same kedusha, then like we said, these goof echad both is how it says in the Gemara, but you see something about this shenu to acher, whatever. So then he's saying the same thing. And all he has to do is we're developing more when he was machalala. So why is he asking the question the way he does? So again, the answer is the chiluloy al acher maush yosef al chaimish, because the question is that Rav Ogden is again asking sort of an intense dilemma. First, you have the case where it developed a mum, the chiluloy al acher, so it was machalad on another animal, and then that second one developed a mum. So the question is maush yosef al chaimish? Does he have to add a chaimish when he's redeeming that second animal? Miyam minin ba'osham kamal hu de moisif. Now here we have actually there's a number of different in this next line and a half of the Gemara, this last line in the Amud, we have a couple of different Gersois. You have the Gersois, we have it here in front of us in the Gemara, and the Rashash talks about that maybe we can try and for it, but then you have on the side of the year the Shittim Kubeses, and Hagoy Sabach, and Tzad Kutchim, and all flip around the Gersois in the Gemara. So do we say, me and Rinan, but Osham Kama who the Enoimosis is how Hagoy Sabach changes it to. Do we say maybe with the original Osham, you don't have to add a Chaimesh because when you were Machal the first time, you already added a Chaimesh. Ava Beguf Acher, but when it comes to the Ava Beguf Echor, or Beguf Acher, but when it comes to a different animal, Ava got the Koim Ba'osik Dusha, even though it still has that same Dusha that it inherited from the original one. Moisif Chaimesh, you should maybe have to add a Chaimesh, because the fact of the matter is it is a different goof. Oy Dilma, or maybe not, Kol Oisik Dusha Eini Moisif Chaimesh. Whenever the second animal in Dusha from the first one, maybe you don't have to add a Chaimesh. The Im Tim Saloima Hodein Goof Echad, if you're going to say that maybe when, that maybe when it's a different animal, that maybe when it's a different animal, Kivin Deba Oisik Dusha Koyim, Aiming Moisif Chaimesh again, Hagoris Abach changes it too. If you're going to say that when it's a different animal, even though it, because it has the same Kedusha, therefore you don't have to add a Chaimesh, because it inherited the Kedusha from the original one, therefore once you paid a Chaimesh for that Kedusha, you shouldn't have to pay a Chaimesh again. Ela Miskaper Ba'acher, but Rav Ovin says, in that case, I still have the question, what if you're a Miskaper with a different animal? Because the first one got lost and you needed another one, the Nitak Zela Ola, therefore the original one ended up turning into an Ola, and then it developed a Mum, so now you're going to be Machalit, Mahu. Now the question is whether you're adding a Chaimesh to that. Ki Moisif Chaimesh Ba'osei Gof Ba'osei Kedusha, do we say that you only have to add a Chaimesh when it's the same Gof and it's the same Kedusha? Aval Kedusha Acheres Loi, but if it has a different kedusha, then even though it's the same goof, maybe you shouldn't have to add another chaimesh. Or maybe after all, since it is after all the same goof, moisif chaimesh, maybe you should have to add a chaimesh. And again, the answer is teiku, same as before. That we're left with teiku. We're not sure what happens in these cases. We have two kedushas on one animal or two goofim that share the same kedusha. Do you have to add a chaimesh for the second one or not? The Gemara leaves the question open, and therefore, again, as we said before, the Rambam puts it as a suffix. It's a suffix in the Nimovinus, and therefore, again, if the Gizbar doesn't have the right to demand the chaimesh, he has the right to demand it. You don't have to give it to him, but if he is toifus it, then you can't take it away from him. Okay. Another question. Speaking of chaimesh, Boy Rami Bachama, Makdish Moisif Chaimesh or Mechaper Moisif Chaimesh. Suppose that you have like this. Ruben designates a korban intending for Shimon to be Mechaper with it. Ruben designates a korban intending for Shimon to be Mechaper with it. So now the question is, if that animal develops a mum and therefore they're going to be part of it, which one of them would have to add the Chaimesh? The one who it originally belonged to, or the one who's going to be the stopper with it. Amar Rava, so Rava says, of course it has to be the one who's the stopper with it. If you're going to tell me otherwise, I skipped a few lines. Amar Rava, so Rava says, I can answer you with a pasuk. The The Pasuk says, the Pasuk reported before, says if the one who is makdish the house wants to redeem his house, then he has to pay a chaymesh, implying the word makdish, just like we said before, that the word makdish means as opposed to a matbis, as opposed to somebody who transfers the kedusha from something else onto this. The same way, makdish means v'loy miskater, the one who was originally makdish the animal, not the one who was miskater with it. So there's your answer. If Reuben designated the animal for Shimon to be miskater with, only Reuben would have to pay the chaymesh if he's going to be poyder, not Shimon. A similar question, what about when it comes to making a tmura? We know, we established before, and we're going to talk about later on also on Dr. Dimmel or so, that only the owner of the korban itself is able to make a tmura with it. So now if you have Reuven designated an animal for Shimon to be miskaper with it, which one of them is considered the owner as far as being able to make a tmura? Amar Rava, so Rava says, obviously it has to be only the Makdish, only the Miskaper can. Im Kain, if you're going to tell me otherwise, if you're going to tell me that the Makdish, the original owner of the animal, is able to make a Tmura, then we have a problem because Matsinu Tzibu V'Shutfin Oisin Tmura, because like this, we're going to learn later on in our Perek, in a couple of blocks, that Tmura only applies to a korban of a Yochid, that Tzibu is not able to make a Tmura. So if the tzibur were to take an animal that was supposed to be used for the talmid or musaf or what have you, and they were to make a tmura with it, nothing happens. Also, shutfim are not able to make a tmura. If you have an animal for a korban that is owned by partners, they're not able to make a tmura on it, as we'll learn later on Dr. Gimel. We'll learn from Sukkim that this is the case. So, but Rava says, If you're going to tell me that the Makdish is able to make a Tmura, if you're going to say the Makdish is able to make a Tmura, then you would have scenarios where the Sibur or partners would be able to make a Tmura. Namely, you're going to Shavu Shliach L'Akdushi. Namely, the case would be, suppose, for example, that the Tzibur or the partners, suppose that they make a Shliach to be makdish an animal for them. Suppose, for example, the Tzibur sends somebody, let's say one of the gizbarim of the Beis Mikdash, go buy us an animal and be makdish it as a talmid. Who is the makdish over here? The person who bought it. The yochid who bought it. Who is the miskaper? The Jewish people. If you're going to say that the makdish is able to make a tmura, then there you have it. It's possible for tmura to apply to korban tzibur, and we know it doesn't. And the same thing with partners. Therefore, says Rava, obviously the answer must be that only the miskaper can make a tmura, and that the miskaper in this case is the tzibur. Therefore, and the tzibur can't make a tmura. But also says Rava, I have another reason that we have to say that only the miskaper can. The Amar of Nachman, Amar of Huna, because Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Huna, Tana, you learn in a braisa like this. The Pasuk says at the end of the section of a Nazir in Parshas Nasai, at the end of that section, the Pasuk summarizes, it says, the Nazir has to bring Korbono LaHashem al Nizroi, he has to bring his Korban to Hashem for his Nizirus, Milavad Asher Kasig Yodai, decide for what he can afford. Now, what are we mentioning affording? We learned in Erchin about the concept of affording when it comes to Korbanos, the concept we said by Erchin of Hesig Yad, that a person doesn't have to pay the full amount of the Erech. You have when it comes to certain Korbanos, you have Oyla V'yodid, you have that it goes up and down in value depending what the person can afford. We have that by the Korbanos of a Metzorah, we have that by the Korban Oyla V'yodid, we have it by Yeladis. But by a Nozer, there's no such thing. The Nozer always brings the same kind of Korbanos. So what do you mean? So what do you mean? B'chi nozer nidin behesek yad. Since when do we judge a nozer according to hesek yad, according to what he can afford? He always has to bring the same korbanos regardless. Which, by the way, you have it's worth mentioning in this connection a cute story that the Yerushalmi tells in this connection. And the Yerushalmi tells that in the times of Shimon ben Shatach, one time there were 300 nazirim who it was the end of their nazirus. They have to bring their korbanos, but they can't afford it. And it's a problem. As long as they don't bring their korbanos, they're still subject to the rules of Nazir. So they came to Shimon ben Shatach to ask what to do. Now, 300 korbanos is going to cost a lot of money. So Shimon ben Shatach thought that what he should do is his brother-in-law is Yanai HaMelech, the king. There's a king from the Hashmonaim at that period. He's, of course, very, very rich. So he could easily afford all of them. But Shimon ben Shatach knows that Yanai is cheap. And he's not going to just give the money for all 300 of them. He could tell him, fine, you know, I'll match you. If you can raise money for some of them, then I'll raise money. Then I'll give you an equivalent amount. Well, Shimon ben Shatach himself can't afford korbanos for 150 nazirim. So what happens? So Shimon ben Shatach sits down, and he starts working through the cases of these nazirim, and he finds grounds to be makir neder for 150 of them. So it turns out 150 of them don't have to bring their korbanos, because he found reasons to be makir neder for them, where they weren't nazirim all the time. So therefore, they don't have to bring korbanos. That disposes of 150. Then
they were what?
So he disposed of 150 nazirim because he was matir neder for them.
What's the reason he was
matir? Each one he found different reason. One, how did Hataras Nadarim work? Hataras Nadarim is the classical case is that you find a Pesach. You tell the person, if you had known such and such, would you have made the neder? And the person says no, and that's a Pesach to be matir neder. So in this case, Shimon ben Shatach worked through, and for each one of 150 of these nazirim, he managed to find a valid Pesach, and therefore he was able to be matir neder. For one of them, maybe he could tell him that, do you realize, I don't know, each one might have been something else. Maybe some of them it was, would you have made the neder if you knew you couldn't afford the korbanos? Maybe that would be a valid Pesach. Other ones, you could say, let's say, would you have made this neder if you knew, for example, that your family wouldn't like it? I don't know, whatever, different kinds of things like that. So 150 of them, he was able to be matir neder. That leaves 150. He goes to Yanai HaMelech, and he tells him, 300 Nazirim came to me. They can't afford their korbanos. How about you and I go half and half on it? You supply for 150. I'll supply for 150. So Yanai thinks to himself, sure, Shimon ben Shatach is willing to pay for it. He's willing to find money for great to fundraise for 150 Nazirim. I'm the king. I can for sure do that. So he gives him money for the 150 Nazirim. Eventually, what happens is people go and master to Yanai that Shimon ben Shatach lied to you. There were actually only 150 who needed to bring korbanos, not 300. So he got you to pay, and he himself didn't pay anything. Well, Yanai, of course, is very upset. So he's ready to punish or to kill or who knows what Shimon ben Shatach. So Shimon ben Shatach has to go into hiding for a while. His sister, who was the queen, Queen Shlemtzion, hid him away. Time passes. One day, some ambassadors from a different country come to visit Yanai's court, and they're sitting and talking. And one of them says, "You used to have in your court this tremendously wise person. We always enjoyed hearing what he has to say. Where is he?" So, of course, Yanai is a little bit embarrassed because he knows they're talking about Shimon ben Shatach, and Shimon ben Shatach is in hiding because he's scared of him. So he tells Shlemtzion, I promise him he'll be safe. Go get him out of hiding and bring him over here. The ambassadors want to see him. So they do. And part of the story, by the way, is in the Gemara Brachos, although without all these details. But anyway. So Shimon ben Shatach comes. And Yanai says, "Nu, what do you have to say for yourself about this business with the Nazirim? You lied to me." And Shimon ben Shatach says, "I didn't lie to you." And I says, "What do you mean? I was told there were only 150 Nazirim brought korbanos at that point." And Shimon ben Shatach says to him, "Yeah, but you have a pasuk in Tehillah that says, 'Betzel ha-chochma, betzel ha-kesef,' the shadow of chochma and the shadow of money, the protection given by chochma and the protection that's given by money are the same thing. You supplied for 150 nazirim with your money. I supplied for 150 nazirim with my chochma of Torah because I was able to be matir neder." And Yanai accepted that, and they were on good terms again. Okay, so anyway, so that's the story. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the point is that there's no allowances made for the Nazirim who can't afford it. A Nazir has to bring exactly the korbanos that he has to bring, and no less. So why is the pasuk saying milabada shatasig yada, decide for what he can afford? So the Braita says what that pasuk means. What that pasuk means, ha-ketzad, what does it mean? When the pasuk says korbono l'Hashem al, so you have like this, the pasuk says korbono l'Hashem al Nizrei, his korban for his nazirus, milabad asher tasig yadeh, besides for what he can afford. So those refer to two different cases. Korbono l'Hashem al Nizrei means shehifrish mishaloi. When it says his korban for his nazirus, that means when he himself set aside money and brought korbanos. milavadish, a kafir yode, when the pasuk says, aside from what he can afford, that means we're talking about a case where he can't afford it, but somebody else can, because she frisha layachayim, because we're talking about somebody else set aside an animal for him for a carbon. Okay, so that's the brisa. So now the question is, lamai hilchsa. What is the chiddush of the brisa that about the korbanos of a nazir that somebody else designates for him? Are you telling me the brisa is saying you should know a nazir is able to get his kapara with somebody else bringing the korbanos for him? Of course it can be mechaper for him. Why would he think otherwise? Elo le'inyan tamura. Evidently, we have to say the brisa is telling us that the pasuk is teaching us a din as far as the halachas of tamura. What the brisa seems to be saying, says Rava, even if, needless to say, obviously, if the nazir set aside his own korbanos, obviously he's able to make a tamura with them because he's the owner of the animals. But the pasuk seems to be implying with this thing about comparing also where somebody else designates them for him. It seems to be saying, even if other people designate korbanos on his being, he's still able to make a tamura. Shmamina, so Rava says, well, there you go. You see from that, both the Miskaper is linen. Apparently, you go according to the Miskaper. Because that, what else would the Braisa be teaching us? If not that the Nazir is considered the owner of the animals as far as the Dinim of Tamura. So, Rava says to Rami Bachama, you had your question, who can make a Tamura, the Makdish or the Miskaper? First of all, logic dictates it has to be the Miskaper. Otherwise, as we said, you have a case where the Tzibur or Shutfim are able to make a Tamura, because you could have the Makdish could make the Tamura for them. And we know that that's not the case. We know that the carbon of partners or the carbon of the Tzibur can never be subject to Tamura. And number two, Rava says, on the basis of this braisa, what else could this braisa be teaching us other than that the nazir is able to make a tamura, whether the animals originally belong to him or not? Okay, the Gemara says no. Loi, le'inyan tamura. No, we could say that le'inyan kapara, actually, shutum kubat, this changes it too. No, we can say that actually the braisa is teaching us that the nazir is able to have his kapara with his karbana. You're arguing what's the chiddush in that. That itself is the chiddush. Udika kashalach matona de kayadin le. You're asking, what's the chiddush? Of course, they gave it to him as a present. Why shouldn't he be able to miskapa with it? That's exactly the point. Ilav de rabbi rachmona milavada shatasik yaday. Were it not for the words in the pasuk milavada shatasik yaday, from which we learn that there can be a scenario where the nazir can't afford his karbanas and somebody else donates them on his behalf, and it works. If you didn't have those words in the pasuk, how about a minute? You would think, gzeres hakosuv hu, that maybe it's a gzeres hakosuv, korbanin yidayhu to mechaper, that the korban is mechaper for him only if he himself brings it from his own money, midacherim loy, but maybe it's not mechaper if other people donated on his behalf. Kamash malon, that is the point of the braisa, that is the point of the pasuk, to teach us that that's not the case, and that, in fact, he can be miskaper over the korban that was donated by somebody else. So you thought, so the Gemara is saying, you thought, Rava, that the chiddush of the braisa is that the nazir is able to make a tamura with this korban. No, the chiddush of the braisa is just the fact that he's able to be miskaper with this korban, which otherwise you would have thought that maybe he couldn't do. Okay, so we don't have a proof from that. My havyalah, okay, what's the bottom line? Who is it that is able to make the tamura, the makdish or the miskaper? And we still have, there was also Rami Bachama's first question about who gives the chaymesh, which, okay, Rava answers the question with the pasuk, but still we want to have a more solid proof for it. So Toshma, we can prove as follows. The Amr Abba Bo, Amr Abdechan, makdish moisif chaymesh, the one who declares the thing to be hefdish is the one who pays the chaymesh. So that answer is Rami Bachama's first question. If you have a makdish and a miskaper, the Reuven donated a korban on behalf of Shimon. It's Reuven who, if he's going to redeem the korban, has to pay the chaymesh, not Shimon. Or miskaper ois a tamura. When it comes to a tamura, though, with Shimon, the miskaper, the one who's actually getting the kapara with the korban, who's able to make the tamura. And a third thing, Rabbo also mentions, Torah Mishaloy al Shalacherim, if a person gives truma from his produce on behalf of somebody else's produce, then the din is, even though the truma itself doesn't belong to him because it has to go to a kohen, Tovas Hanah Shaloy. The Tovas Hanah of that truma is his, which means we've learned before that Tovus Hanah has two possible meanings. Number one, it means he can give it to whatever Kohen he wants. Number two, it also means that if Yisrael wants to offer him some money in order to give the Truma to a Kohen who's a relative of his, a nephew or a grandson or what have you, then he's able to keep that money. So if Reuben himself had given Truma for his own, if Reuben himself had given Truma out of his own produce, then the Tovus Hanah would be his. He'd be the one to decide what Kohen can get it, and he'd be the one who, if Yisrael wants to offer him, etc., he could accept that. Now, in this case, where Reuben is doing it on behalf of Shimon, so Reuben, who is the owner of the produce from which the Truma is coming, has the ability to do that, not Shimon. My time, why is that? Because the pasuk says that you have to, when you finish taking all the ma'aser of your produce, then you should give it, implying whoever is taking the ma'aser from his, the truma and the ma'aser from his produce, he has the ability to give it to whoever he wants, and he has the tovus hanah. So even though it's being given on behalf of Shimon's, on behalf of Shimon's produce, and you would argue, therefore, that means that it should be considered in that sense Shimon. No, we don't say that. In that sense, it's considered Reuben, and Reuben is the one entitled to the Tovus Hanah for that Truma or that Ma'aser.
The Truma, repeat that again.
Well, the Truma itself is going to the Kohen, but the point is, just like, if Shimon himself were giving Truma out of his own produce, then Shimon would be the one entitled to decide what Kohen to give the Truma to and what Levi to give the Ma'aser Rishon to, etc. And if a Yisrael came to Shimon and said, here's a dollar, give your Truma to my grandson, the Kohen, he would be allowed to do that, and he would be able to take the dollar. Now, if Reuben is giving Truma on behalf of Shimon, then those rules apply to Reuben. Reuben is the one who gets to decide who gets the Truma, not Shimon. And Reuben is the one who gets to take the dollar and give the truma to a relative of somebody else. Reuben being the one who's giving the truma out of his produce, even though it's being given on behalf of Shimon. It's being given with the intention of making it that Shimon will be able to eat his produce. But Reuben is the one who's actually separating the 2% or whatever of his produce to give. Therefore, he's the one who has the tovus hanah.
So Reuben takes it from his crop?
All right.
From his money?
Yeah. Well, his crop we're talking about. We're not talking about ma'aser of money. We're not talking about ma'aser of something. We're talking about truma and ma'aser of produce.
Reuben takes from his crop on behalf of Shimon, who's crop. And
right.
Reuben will have
enough. So now Reuben is entitled to that Tovus Hanah. Reuben is entitled to pick what coin to give it to, and Reuben is also entitled to take money from a Yisrael who wants the truma specifically to be given to his relative, the coin, right? And that, Rabbi Bo was saying, we learn from the fact that the pasuk uses the expression when you're giving out your truma and ma'aser to whoever it's supposed to, v'nasata, you give it. It says you give it to the kohen and to the lady, etc., implying that you have full control over which kohen and which lady and whoever to give it to.
But it says kol ma'aser, it doesn't say truma.
Same thing. To a large extent, the dinim that apply to designating and separating truma also apply to ma'aser and vice versa.
Okay.
Right.
Tomorrow.
The usual. That's the same.
Okay.
Okay.